Hey, this is Josh from Sad Night Dynamite, and you're listening to WONY in Oneonta, New York.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded.
So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the WONY Weekly Update. Here are some upcoming events to look forward to. On Monday, September 15th, join the Activities Council for Club Feud, happening from 9 to 10:30 p.m. in the Hunt Union Ballroom. On Tuesday, head down to the Red Dragon Theater for some Trivia Tuesday, happening from 9 to 10 p.m. On Wednesday, join the Student Fashion Society for their first general body meeting, happening from 7 to 8:15 p.m. in IRC 1. Also happening on Wednesday is another round of Club Feud. Head on down to the ballroom from 9 to 10:30 p.m. On Thursday, join the Office of Equity and Inclusion for a film screening of American Agitators, happening from 6 to 9 p.m. in the Great Room in Lee Hall. On Friday, be sure to join Activities Council for their general body meeting, happening from 3 to 4 p.m. in Hunt Union in the Leather Stock Room. On Friday, join Faculty Opportunities for a Friday social hour at the Muddy River, happening from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. for faculty at the Muddy River Tap Room in Oneonta. On Saturday, join the Activities Council for their show of Saturday Soundscape, Selena, the Last Concert, live from the Astrodome, happening from 8 to 9 p.m. in the Red Dragon Theater. This has been your WONY Weekly Update on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. Have a great week and be sure to keep it locked.
Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it seems a year since you've been here. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. Little darling, I feel like ice that's slowly melting. Little darling, it seems like years since it's been clear. Here comes the sun. Little darling, here comes the sun. I say, it's all right.
What's up, DJ Nuss from R2, What's in Your Pocket, extended edition. For those of you who were tuning in before, you got to hear the amazing Cassandra Miller talk about Townie, which everybody should check out on Substack. Townie New York is what you should kind of go on there, and then you can find about all the cool stuff going on in the greater Oneonta area. But today's super special. It's super special. We have an awesome guest, a good friend of mine, an amazing poet. Allison Collins is here to share some enlightening facts about not only her life, but a few poems here, and we'll listen to her recite these. And there's even one that doesn't have a title, so maybe we can have some kind of competition to figure out what we should call it. Good morning, Allison. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I am fantastic. So as we start here, why don't you give us a little bit of background about you and what you do and what your favorite flavor of pie is.
I'm not really that big of a pie girl. Damn. Chocolate. Always chocolate. Except for with ice cream.
Chocolate pie. Okay.
I am a writer and mainly do, well, for hire, I do, you know, journalistic writing and editing.
Yep.
With the Daily Star and Upstate Life and a couple other various things. I do that in a freelance capacity and have for, I don't know, 15 or so years.
Okay.
And then for my own writing, I do a lot of poems and some fiction, some short stories with, I was going to say varying degrees of success, but I don't really know however you measure such things. But sometimes I get published, yes. I get a lot of rejections, and I, you know.
Sounds like the dating scene. No, I'm just kidding. Well.
So that, and I live in Unadilla, you know, three kids, the whole spiel. But yeah, the writing that I do for myself, I would say, is primarily poetry.
Okay. And then, so tell me, or us and me, although I know some of this, when somebody goes into or does stuff like this, especially since there's a big difference between the writing part with the poetry and the writing part with working for publications, mm-hmm. right, newspapers and so forth, one would think that one would have to have some kind of degree and or background in that subject in order to be able to get this freelancing kind of stuff. So tell us a little bit about your schooling and passion in that.
I graduated from Hartwick and have an English literature degree.
Mm.
I do not have a degree in journalism or communications. It was sort of, but like had always had an aptitude for writing. And
yes.
I should say, like, I have in fact done that my whole life. Really my whole life. Like, I remember being a little kid, you know, like rewriting Little Women at a very clunky desktop when I was like 8 years old.
Aww.
So this is truly like something I have always done.
I love that.
But I did not go to school for the journalism side of things. I just kind of got lucky with word of mouth and recommendations and, you know, a couple key people taking me under their wing and saying, you know, here's how to do this. Here's a better way of doing it.
Yeah.
And sort of, you know, forged ahead that way.
And you also dance.
Yes.
Yeah, that's like huge. That's like a big part of your life.
Yeah.
It was,
I mean,
right?
I did ballet my whole life, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Once in the arts, always in the arts, right? I guess I kind of...
Definitely, whatever side of the brain that is, it's definitely like I am that brain side.
100%. That's amazing. And besides, so, you know, have this wonderful family living in the Dilla, right? and writing, and you were a dancer, and you graduated from Hartwick. Where else can you be seen as a public figure?
You mean the B-side?
Yeah, that's right. This is super important, too, because this is an important organization for Oneonta.
Yeah, no, I work at the B-side on the weekends, and there's a lot of cool stuff happening, and, you know, it's not necessarily the branch of the arts in which I most heavily traffic, but certainly like music. And it's just like a very arts forward, community forward quality place. So
100%. It's amazing. I worked in the, as being a musician, I worked in the food industry for 20 something years. Not only did I work at the B-side years ago, but the Autumn, who are the same owners currently now, but prior to that, for 20 years, I worked in the food and art seem to go together very well.
Yeah.
Not only because you get to be creative, but also because most of the time the art doesn't pay, so you have to figure out another,
well, yeah, there's that too.
another job to support other, you know, support the younglings who want to eat things and so forth.
Many side hustles.
Many side hustles. And your daughter also works here as yes. well, which is amazing. So if she's listening, yo, it was up. Okay, so Allison has brought multiple pieces of writing here, which I'm looking at. And I'm just going to ask her to choose one.
All right, too old, too new.
Too old, too new. And
too published, too unpublished.
We can do this any way you wish. You can... If you want to read one of these, and then we can talk a little bit about it, that might, maybe that's a good start. Sometimes yeah. we don't need to talk about things. Sometimes it's just nice to leave things alone. But let's have you read one, and then maybe give us when it was written.
Okay.
And any background before you read it, maybe.
Okay. Do Instead, you have a preference?
I'm looking at Starling right okay. now. So this, yeah, if you could give us just like a background about when it was written, thoughts, that way we can get an idea before we listen to it, right?
So I generally don't have a good sense of chronology.
Okay.
Can't tell you when I wrote it. I will tell you that this, like the primary action in it really did happen.
Okay.
But it took a while, like, I don't know, maybe a year or two for it to kind of percolate into something. And then I wrote it much after the fact, and like in the moment the event didn't strike me as particularly poetic, but that is sort of how it works. And I think I had actually gone back to like a line in the notes app of my phone and seen something about it and then kind of jumped off that. So
okay.
I don't know when I wrote it, but it was a while after the actual event that it got written.
Gotcha.
All right, so it is called Starling. I dream of waking alone, winging out over the unmade bed, adrift and drifting, to wonder what it might be like to be less needed, to not feel the sharp-beaked call of all of you, wanting, wanting, wanting. At a certain age, I began to understand what Virginia meant about money and a room of one's own. We had a starling in the wood stove once, its jewel neck soot-stained and frantic, the sound of passerine claws on bellied cast iron and walled-in wings lives still in my head, if not the chimney pipe. It took all of us, wielding upturned laundry baskets like baseball mitts and sheets, wide-winged and jumpy, staged around stairs and doors, to shunt her back out. We had to work so hard to free a thing that had really trapped herself.
Amazing. Okay, so let's, as a reader of fine things, it's always nice to hear it coming from the actual author itself. And I will say all this. I asked Allison to give me a bunch of her poetry a while ago, and I've been going through all of it and making marks.
Marks.
Oh, that's right, marks on all of these things. And this was one I did a long time ago, mm-hmm. so it's fun kind of going back to it and looking at it and thinking different things this time when you kind of go through. So overall feeling. So let me ask you first, and then I'll kind of go through and look at this and ask a couple questions for, I guess, our listeners, and not only that, for myself, right? So overall theme.
You're asking?
Yeah, I want to know what your overall thought of this is, you know? I mean, I know what mine is.
If I go back and look at the, what is this, like the French word, like over, like the body of work.
Yes.
I don't, you know, set out to do like thematic elements, but for sure there are thematic elements, and some of those would be like longing, yearning, There's a lot of hands, a lot of male hands, a lot of birds, a lot of roadkill.
Yes.
But oh. So, you know, I think I'm sort of obsessed with the notion of flight and getting free.
Yeah, right. So as I look at, you know, I have two kids of my own. So even just looking at the first paragraph here, you know, and not necessarily taking this as a love thing or whatever, just but the concept of like, you know, what's it like sometimes just to be like somebody not asking you to do something?
Right.
Oh, right.
Right. It's like, sort of a fantasy, and I wouldn't I wouldn't not want to be needed the way that I am.
Of course.
But also it's a fantasy to just think of like, my God, what would it be like to wake up in a bed by myself?
Sure.
And not have any demands on me or my time, and like, what would that feel like? And I think it appeals more because I have the opposite. And, you know, if I did have that sort of singular mode of operating, like if I didn't have these demands, I would probably want the former. You know what I mean? Like a grass is greener type thing. But
100%.
Still feels like a fantasy.
Oh, no. It's funny because every once in a while, my son is the only one who's living at my house currently, along with the dog, Viv. And every once in a while, Record goes and sleeps over somebody's house, and then Viv decides that she's not going to be in my bed. And sometimes when I wake up in the morning and none of that is going on and I don't have to wake up and get him to school, it's like this blissful feeling.
It's delicious. Yeah.
It's completely delicious. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, I'll go downstairs and I'll make coffee and something feels off about it, right? And I'm not saying it's bad or good. It just feels off.
A little directionless, yeah.
Directionless. But it is nice from time to time. Mm-hmm. Okay, Virginia, what are we talking about here?
There's a Virginia Woolf quote about, like, you know, every woman should have, I'm paraphrasing, but, like,
yes.
Every woman needs, you know, money in a room of her own. And
yeah. Okay.
It just, like, I think I had come across that probably in college, and it didn't really start to resonate until much later.
Okay, yeah. I'm just looking at the reference there, and I remember this because I remember when I read this the first time, I looked it up.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't remember what it was from. Do you remember what it was from?
Nope.
Okay, that does not matter, right?
I'm bad at that kind
of
thing.
Yeah. So as I look through, I one thing I really like about your writing, and we had talked about this before, is the condensing down of useless banter, as I would call it, right? So being a little bit more honed in, pinned in on what we want to say, so that all words mean something, as opposed to just being passive fodder, I guess, or something. Right. So jewel neck, right? It's jewel neck. I'm not sure what does that mean?
Oh, just because, like, you know, when the starling, when the light catches it in a certain way, or, like, lots of birds, they, you know, they might seem, like, black or, you know, like, one tone, but then when the light catches them, it's sort of, like...
Okay.
Almost, like, iridescent.
Gotcha.
You know, and you get, like, tones of, like, turquoise and blue and purple, and so that's what that means.
Yeah, and I also think that I think the feathers are all waterproof, right? So it's got some kind of, like...
Yeah, it's, like,
glimmer,
a sheen.
Sheen on it, right? Okay, cool. That middle, I guess, if you look at it in five, what would you call these, stanzas or something like that? Right. The middle one, right? If not the chimney pipe is my favorite part of that. I don't know. It's made me giggle a little bit, but I shouldn't be giggling, but I am. Going to the fourth one, when you're talking about the laundry baskets and baseball mitts, and you said this is a, based on a true story,
oh,
right?
Yeah. This poor thing, she flew in from outside down the chimney pipe and was inside the wood stove, which we don't use.
Sure.
But, like, it was just this, like, scratch and clawing. Like, it was a horrible sound.
Of course. When I was recording an album in the early 2000s, I was at my friend's house, and his parents were gone for the weekend. And I don't know if I told you this or not, but there was a bat that got in, and... I would say we were easily under the influence of certain things going on there, and we were recording, and we all had really long hair because we were, like, you know, coming out of the grunge scene, you know, dirty 22, 23-year-old boys playing rock and roll. And I remember the bat came in, and we were all, like, totally freaked out. And we took lampshades and put them over our heads so that the bat wouldn't get in our hair. Because, you know, that's the first thing everybody thinks. Like, a bat comes in. Oh, number one, it has rabies. And number two, it's going to get in my hair and never leave me alone. And we took brooms and put lampshades on her head and took forever to get this bat out. And I just look at it from afar, like I can close my eyes and envision mm-hmm. this scenario mm-hmm. and just it's although it's no relation to what the bird is thinking, it's our observation from the other end that is very funny. You know, but then when you get to the last thing, right? The last thing, we worked so hard to free a thing that had really trapped herself. Mm. Is, I think, the key to this entire thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, we do these things to ourselves and then figure out how to get out of the situation.
Right.
And sometimes it seems like we can't. Sometimes we need other people's help.
Sometimes it's totally futile, but yeah. And sometimes
that's
it
correct.
Takes us clawing and sort of screeching, yeah.
I love this. Starling.
Thank you.
Starling is great. Okay. This was an older one.
Yep.
Yeah. Can we take a look at a newer one?
Sure.
And do we want to do the untitled one, or what's the other one?
Fulagandros.
Yeah, Fulagandros. Okay, so first of all, mm-hmm. Fulagandros, Fulagandros.
Yes.
What even does that word mean?
Fulagandros is the name of the very remote island, Greek island, that my best friend and I went to this summer for a best friend kind of bonanza and my 40th. And
bonanza.
So Fulagandros is a tiny, tiny island off the coast of Santorini. And that is where we went to just have, like, you know, trip of a lifetime.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
And you wrote this when you were there, after you were there?
I wrote this just, like, I don't know, a week or two ago. So we went July. We went in mid-July. And she brought a journal for both of us to keep, and I really did want to do that. But, like, and she made an earnest effort at keeping it herself, but, like, ultimately we just were too busy having adventures to really, like, take the time to do that. And I just couldn't make myself write in the journal. And I had the entries, like, drafted in my head, but I just never put pen to paper. And so I was feeling like I have to write something about this experience. I have to, you know, but it needed 2 months or so, I think, to kind of distill and to settle. So, you know, we went in mid-July, but I wrote this maybe 2 weeks ago.
Okay, yeah.
3 weeks ago.
Yeah, you always plan on these intentions of documenting things when you're doing things.
Yeah.
But then it gets to a point where you're like, I'm having too much fun. You know, if you don't think about it, then that's a good thing in a way, because you're enjoying or doing the thing you should be doing.
We were definitely busy having too much fun.
That's a good thing. So here we go. Fulagandros?
Fulagandros. Impossible to do justice to this land, older than all our insignificances. No way to write an uncaging. But together we watch the sun linger, yawn itself down, fat and satisfied. Job well done. We held its last light in a swell of glass, clinking orange wine. On the bottle, a grape-eating fox in boots and vest. Butch fox, you said. They all thought we were lovers anyway. We laughed more at this, at us, at the absurdity of such luxury, and toasted what we came for, what we could finally taste, there at the edge of the earth. Freedom. It was a return to girlhood. It felt like getting away with something. Maybe you can only look across that gulf and know your sweet, shrinking, younger self, light of another kind finding its horizon from this distance. Maybe it takes a dogged quest for reclamation to know what got lost along the way. Later, we scampered across the stone lobby, cool and beige, curated for stillness and people quieter, less drunk than us. Behind us, regret, Corellia smoke, road dust, a billow of gold-threaded skirt.
So this is much different than the last one we heard, right? The last one was a very, how would I say this, deep thought-provoking kind of thing about an overall feeling of I don't know, you know,
I think
longing for something. This is also the same thing, but a little bit more just fun and to the point.
Yes, and I think I'm getting, like, if you look at the work as a whole, I think it's feeling freer as it goes along.
100%, and I also really like it because there is a large amount of happiness in this, and I'm not saying that most poetry when you read it, I would say 90% of poetry when I read it is not necessarily the shimmering light of awesome hope.
No, I write sad poems. For sure.
Yeah, and a lot of people do. You know, yeah, that's right. You know, I'm not reading Baudelaire or whatever just to be like, oh yeah, life's amazing. You know, but the thing is like this is though, in a way, you know, this very happy kind of thing. There are some things in here that are not hidden, but, you know, you know, leaving the regret behind at the end. And then Corellia?
It's a brand of Greek cigarettes.
Oh, okay. Got you. Okay, cool. Did you smoke a Greek cigarette when you were over there?
Mark?
Am I allowed to ask that question?
I do not smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, I know, but that's not answering my question, because I feel like if somebody's over there, they might have tried one.
Yeah, no, I mean, sure. But I will say, they sell the
still
cigarette packages
the
with the most hideous images on them. They're meant to be like PSAs.
Yeah, there's
and
like
I'm talking
busted
like,
lungs
like
and
limbless
dead people,
babies.
Right?
Like, it's yeah, so yeah. bad.
Jesus.
So, yeah, but they have them like stacked on the convenience store walls, and it's just all these hideous pictures. Yeah. And we were like, yeah, give us that one.
Yeah, of course, right? Yeah, no, hey.
So, yeah, I
went in
have
Rome.
Tried a Corellia. Right.
Fulgandros. When you're Fulgandros, it just seems like something I want to use for the rest of my life now. That means not exactly what it should at all. There's so much imagery in here that I really enjoy. Fat and satisfied. Job well done. Well done. I like to say that when things are going swimmingly about something, you know. Orange wine. So is this a reference to an actual kind of wine that was orange? And tell us about this orange wine.
It actually was orange wine, but okay. It was sort of made more orange. So we traveled the length of the island, which we didn't know. We didn't know how far away this place was, but it was like a word of mouth thing. And it was like, you got to get reservations at Spina. So we go to Spina, and it's a 45-minute ATV ride. And I'm in this like bohemian, literally gold-threaded dress, and it's like billowing out behind me. The sun is setting. We're cruising around on our ATV, and this place was just like set into a cliffside. Really felt like at the edge of the earth. You know, we ate food that was caught in the bay like that morning. So we were drinking orange wine, and I forget the name of it. It's in my phone, but I forget the name of it. But it really did have like a little picture of a fox.
Eventually funny.
In boots and vest, like eating a little cluster of grapes. So it was orange wine.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, because we sat facing out, and this place only sat maybe like 20 people. You know, like it was a trip. And we sat facing out at this like plank table, and the sun was setting, and it was really like such a saturated sunset. So, yes, it was orange wine, but the wine in the glass looked so much more orange because of the way the sun was setting and because of where we were positioned in relation to that light.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was something.
Oh, yes, it sounds like. So as I go through this, I find this one to just be kind of a beautiful thought of something that happened and just pure happiness.
Yeah.
You know, scampering across the lobby. And of course, it's beige.
Well, it really was, though.
I love beige. Yes.
But it was like the place billed itself as raw luxury. So it was all very, like, you know, hand-hewn stone. It was.
Sure.
It was,
people quieter, less drunk than us. I have not much to more ask about this one. I think it's kind of straightforward. You actually sent this one to me,
mm-hmm.
and I read it, and I said that I think I said the same thing. I said this is just one straight up a great poem and in a great memory, mm-hmm. You know, for yourself. And yeah, my favorite part is the title.
Sort of a working title, but I think I'll stick with it.
I think it's, I mean, my favorite part in terms of me laughing is the Filigandros, but it's just for my own personal sake. But it's nice. And the less drunk line is pretty good, too. And Butch Fox.
They didn't know what to make of us.
Like, yeah, totally. Right?
I know they all thought we were lovers. And, like, it was my best friend and I. Yeah. And, you know, we're so close. But I could just tell that, like, these Greek people didn't know how to contextualize us. And, you know, women don't really... It was like a honeymoon trip. But, like, sure. Women don't do... Like, you know, you don't really take best friend trips like that. And there were a lot of, like, honeymooners or couples in these spaces. So it was just funny.
And then you two.
Yeah, and they didn't know what to make of us. And it really kind of was, like... You know, we were doing this for my 40th, but it really was a time where... I think we both felt like girls.
Yeah. That's all amazing. Okay, so... Clasp?
Yeah.
This one I've read, and I like this one.
It's an old one.
Yeah, this is an old one as well. I say you just go ahead and read it, and then we'll chat about it.
All right. Clasped. The chain of my necklace was knotted, but I wore it anyway. Wanting to wreath myself in something shiny for you. A bower bird calling, want me, want me, want me. You noticed and reached with large hands, oil stained from my neck, as unthinking I swept aside hair, a curtain lifting, and welcomed you closer. My own hands found pockets, wings folded, and I watched you undo small links of gold, but also me. Something long corded and hard grew molten beneath my breast, an ingot tossed to a fire I'd forgotten. The sunlight through mullioned windows tiled our two-headed shadow into something tidy as you lingered over replacing it, the necklace, with such care I could have cried.
Okay, love story. Right?
Love moment.
Love moment. Love moment. But this is super sweet.
Yeah, that's one word for it.
I mean, that's why. Oh, come on, right?
No, it is. Yeah.
It is. And whatever backstory, I'm not going to ask any of this, you know, what. But as I look through, right, once again, the importance of using particular words in certain things, like knotted, it plays a lot into things, right? You know, why use a word like that there, right? There's my question, right?
Well, you know, my necklace actually was knotted.
Yes.
But when you say that, I hadn't really thought about that. But no, you're right.
Yeah, if it's knotted, right, there's... Something that's knotted is generally, okay, either...
Tangled.
It's tangled, and when it's tangled, how long has it been knotted for?
Right.
Have I left it knotted for a particular reason, or have I not tried to unknot it?
Right.
You know, it's always... I overanalyze, I think, sometimes things like that. But I also see it when I'm reading things like important to know. You noticed and reached with large hands, oil stained, for my neck. Yeah. So the first time I read this, it was very interesting because I read it as you noticed and reached with large hands, oil stained from my neck, you know, and thinking about that's how I first read it. And then I went back and realized there was a comma there and it was for my neck as reaching there. Right. Anyways, that's just a thought process on mine. I don't have much to say else about that. My own handful of pocket wings. Yeah, I like this. I like the ingot line. Mm. And
mullioned?
Mullioned. What is that? I don't.
So when you see a window and it's got like the crisscross strips of wood.
Yes, you told me this before,
those are,
too.
I don't know. Did I? I guess maybe.
I asked about the same question, but I forgot. Yeah.
So it's like the wood strips that make the grid on a window. Those are mullions.
Those are mullions. So they hold the individual panes of glass.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Into something tidy. as if it wasn't. maybe it isn't.
Sharp.
Yeah, right. And I could have cried. But did you?
Well, that's an important word choice.
Yeah, right? You could have.
Mm-hmm.
Which means to believe that you did not.
No, and I changed that word around a few times. Like, I had nearly.
Right.
That word has been modified. But could have is an intentional... That's a choice.
And that's a great word to use instead of, because if you had put, mm-hmm. What did you say before?
Nearly?
Nearly is a totally different mm-hmm. thing, right? I nearly cried, right?
Could have
is a choice. Yep. It indicates choice over this.
And it indicates some level of autonomy in the situation, even as there's like a swept upness.
Yes, of course.
That was not an accidental. Sometimes I use words accidentally and it's like a happy accident. I'm like, oh, like knotted. You know, I wasn't thinking about the larger situation as entangled. I was just about this knot in the necklace.
Yes.
And I really do like in art and in books and in poems and try to do this myself when a thing takes, you know, like a zooming in on minutiae and a zooming in on tiny moments and makes them sort of magnified and more meaningful. So, you know, I think this does that, but that last word was not a happy accident. That was for sure intentional.
Well, yeah, no, it's funny because you get through the whole thing and then the last line, you're like, oh, this is gorgeous. Like, and then you get to the last line and not saying it's not gorgeous, but it changes the entire poem.
Well, yeah.
In a way. Not changes it, but makes you think about what's going on beforehand, right? One other question, and I did look this up. I remember the first time. What is a bower bird?
It's a kind of bird. I think the male of the species like gathers little shiny trinkets and like bits and bobs and puts them in their nest to try to attract a partner, like, you know, like tinfoil and gum wrappers.
Shards okay.
of glass, and so that's it's right. very much like a preening, like. Come, look at me.
It reminds me of The Secret of Nim. You ever read The Secret of Nim or watch the movie?
Oh, my gosh, yes. And I have not thought. It's about the little rats, right?
About the rats, right? Right.
It's
Mrs. Brisby and the Rats of Nim was the original book, right?
I think I read that in third grade.
And I don't think it's necessarily, I think I'm just cross-thinking too many things.
Mm-hmm.
But the bird in there is this giant, like, black bird who's voiced by... Oh, God, Don DeLuise, I believe.
Okay.
And the bird and the woman are, and there's a female bird later on that they're kind of in love, but they have this, like, string that they're trying to, like, knot and make things with. But it reminds me of the same kind of, ooh, shiny trinket kind mm-hmm. of thing. And I think there's a... to try to get a stone, I think, in that, because the stone will lift up...
is ringing a bell.
Yeah, the stone will lift up the house because they're trying to save the house from the farmer's
mm-hmm.
plow
or
whatever.
Yep.
Nicodemus was like the... yeah, right? Nicodemus. But the bird sees the stone and is like, oh, shiny trinket. Uh-huh. Wants the shiny trinket for whatever. So I'm remembering that, like, at that moment, the bird kind of forgets what's going on or something like that because it sees the trinket.
Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of like, oh, this is what everything's about right now. I'm kind of mesmerized by this piece of shininess, and I want to give it to you.
And how do we present ourselves to others, and what do we say?
That's right. Yeah. Anyways, The Secret of Nim, everybody. I think it's Mrs. or Ms. Brisby and the Rats of Nim is the original book. And it's it's an incredible cartoon.
I've forgotten about that.
You know, it's a great. It's one of those ones that stuck with me as a kid. But Nicodemus, that was the name of like the bad guy or something like that, or the I don't know. Anyways, this one's great. So we have one more here, and this one, as I turn the page over and look, there is no title.
No.
There's only one word that sticks out on here, and it's a giant okay, because it's in capital letters.
Well, so I will say it's only in capital letters because AP style for newspaper writing is to do it capital O, capital K, instead of O-K-A-Y. So
is that
my habit.
Oh,
gotcha.
It's not
written that way to be like, okay. It's just because I am, like, conditioned to do it that way.
You sound like a wrestler or something when you said that. Like the friggin' Macho Man.
Often confused with a wrestler.
Often confused with a wrestler. It's Allison Collins, everybody. Not a wrestler. I also see a line that says morsel squirreled, but we'll get into this in a minute.
You have not read it. I don't think.
I have not read this. No. This is the first reading and listening to. So I am excited. Here is Untitled by the great Allison Collins of the Dilla fame.
Okay. We say, okay, what are our topics? In a lip-smacking way, like applying gloss or a good snap of gum. Each of us combing memory for whatever we've earmarked to share. Check, check, check. We pick them up, put them down. Worry and pet and rearrange our topics, like girls at a dresser full of knickknacks. We call them morning chats, but no, both of us, these are rescue lines, tossed out again and again. Morsels squirreled in brain pockets and our notes app. Bulleted words that mean nothing, everything. The big ones, our obsession with men who can't love us, our dead dads, how hard it is to love our mothers and why they will never really know us, how unhappy I've become. We call snake meal. Must be metabolized slowly, wincingly but unafraid. Much chewing and mulling and chewing. I bought her a candle that said, smells like my deepest, darkest secrets. And I share these most days while I soap the breakfast dishes, sweep dog fur from the floorboards, boil the last of summer's tomatoes into sauce, their skins split, the fruit grown too big for its bounds.
Okay, here we go. So whenever I'm hearing stuff or looking at stuff, it takes me at least three read-throughs to kind of grab everything going on here. When it was funny when I was first looking at this, just some of these things, if I take a look at each one of these little things. A good snap of gum. It's always a good thing. Check, check, check. Interest. So tell me overall feeling about this. What is this overall about to you?
This is about conversations between my best friend and me, but also kind of what it is to have a person occupy that role in your life the way she does.
Yep.
And the way we do for each other.
Sure. It's nice to have that.
It is.
You know, I have that as well. I have a jefe.
I know. I met him.
I have a jefe. And jefe is amazing. And just one of those people that you can always just, you know, if there ever are arguments, they're little and petty and they're whatever. Mm-hmm. And we take each other for who we are, even if we don't agree on certain things or whatever. And it's at points, it's the very unlikeliness of that we would even be this close. But an interesting thing nonetheless. And I love that he is in my life. Mm-hmm. I some of these things are awesome. I love the fourth stanza, morsels squirreled in brain pockets. Like, that's my favorite line, I think, thus far. There's two of them that really stick out to me. That one's awesome. I love that line. And our notes app, right? You know, bulleted words that mean nothing, but everything to you two. Mm-hmm. They mean nothing on their own, but between the two brains, it's obviously there, right? And my other awesome thing is, it's interesting because you put it at the end of one stanza, we call it snake meal,
snake
right?
meal.
But then, without being, then another, you know, it's in another stanza of what that is, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Smells like my deepest, darkest secrets. Is that true?
Yeah.
Did you buy your
candle? Yes, I really did.
That's amazing.
Actually,
what does it smell like, though? But besides, what's the actual smell of the candle?
I think it was like we always...
Naughtiness? Is that what it is?
We always veer toward like a vetiver, sandalwood, like clove kind of
sandalwood
profile, like, you know, that
English
kind of
leather.
yes, for her, yes. And I gave her that candle the same day. It was Christmas. The same day that I gave her the trip to Greece.
That's amazing.
So the candle was just like a little.
Oh, did you give her the trip to Greece?
Yeah, that was my Christmas present to her.
Oh, I didn't know that.
My forever present to her. Yeah, no, I gave her a little tiny box.
Oh, you two are married.
Like a jewelry box. when you put it like that, it was a little tiny jewelry box with a blue ribbon for like white and blue for the Greek flag. And then inside I had done like a tiny little drawing of just the island and like Santorini above it. And put on the back, like, you're going to need a passport.
Wow.
So she had no idea.
Did she freak out?
Yeah, no, she didn't believe what she didn't. There was, like, she is the quickest, most, like, fastest to calibrate information kind of person. And she was absolutely, like, dumbfounded. Like, didn't know what was going on and couldn't put it together. So yeah, I gave her this little candle that smells like my deepest, darkest secrets and also the trip to Greece.
That's amazing. It's interesting because then you're like, you know, talking about all this stuff. And then the last last stanza here just about things that are, you know, I would say just mundane tasks.
Yeah.
You know, as you're kind of going through and you're like, oh, by the way, it's sweet because, you know, as you're doing these things, you're thinking of her, you know, or your relationship with her and how happy that makes you. And
most of the time we are on the phone in the morning. I put my AirPods in and. Yeah. You know, I'm puttering around the house doing these things while we cover, you know, the ground most significant to us.
Sure, 100%, right? Their skin split. Yeah. Boiling the tomatoes and getting rid of the skin.
You don't get rid of it. Just.
Well, you can. I have done it before, but.
I don't.
You don't. It's fine. You can keep it in there. You make the sauce out of fresh tomatoes.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, I had to do something with them because their skins are split, so they're not good for, like, salads anymore. But also, you know, the splitting skin and then the sort of unsheathing of yourself.
I
mean, and, yeah.
I mean, the literal and then non-literal translation of all that, which is one of the great parts about writing, right? You can get a visa. Yeah, I'm loving all of this stuff. So, title.
I was thinking about girlhood as a title. But I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, anybody listening, you know, if you have any thoughts or comments about a title for this, I wonder what I would call it. Squirreled skins. I don't know. Something else.
No. Oh, my gosh. In Unadilla, do you know they have a squirrel hunt every February?
Of course they do.
They do.
Why wouldn't they? Because it's Unadilla.
Bucket like garbage buckets full of squirrels. It's horrific.
Great, that sounds fantastic.
Competition for like the fattest squirrel that you kill. It's great.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah. No.
Oh, Unadilla. I love Unadilla. I do.
I do too.
I love the Dilla, and I think that's oh man, look at a girl's in a dresser full of knickknacks. I have a lot of knickknacks at my house.
Yes, you do.
It's very fun. This is amazing, and I love all of these. And it's funny to see the two newer ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That are very, very, very much concentrated on your bestie and those times. And then the two older ones not being that about something completely different. But once again, I don't know, conversations or not conversations, but topics of art come and go with whatever is going on with your life and you know, as this being a monumental kind of summer for you, being able to go on your trip and then you turning 97 years old.
97
was it 97?
Yep, 97.
You look pretty good for 97.
Thank you, Mark.
It's probably because you go to the gym all the time. No, she turned 40.
Yes, I did.
And still look amazing.
Thank you.
I mean, that's crazy. I am old and it feels good. I'm 50. I remember when I turned 40 and I was like, I'm never going to turn.
None of us ever thought we'd make it past 27 and here we are.
Yeah, that's right.
But no, this is definitely like an arc. You know, I hadn't ever written about her or our relationship and these two, like I said, are quite new. And some of that is just off the heels of such a trip and such an experience. But also, more largely, you know, it's an arc toward... just, you know, sort of skin shedding and freedom seeking.
Yeah, 100%. It's awesome. So tell us, Anything else coming up in the near future? Any live performances? Any stuff coming out? Anything we should know before we wrap this up?
I have a piece coming out in a long-standing site called Literary Mama, which is like a, I don't want to even call it like mom's poetry or mom's fiction because that's sort of reductive, but it's just like literature curated for and by women that sort of issue the quote-unquote rules of motherhood. So it's a website, though, but that's, I have a piece coming out in that in November.
What's the website?
I think it's just like literarymama.org or .com.
Okay.
And I am part of the Seeing Things poetry group, which is under the auspices of Bright Hill Press and Literary Center in Treadwell.
Okay.
And we are currently in session. There's a fall and spring session. And we usually do, you know, some readings, some public stuff of some sort. Last year, we put out an anthology of our work that was at the Green Toad for a while. So, you know, that's a cool group and a cool organization to be a part of. And we're not necessarily, like, there's nothing on the docket right now, but we usually find some way to sort of get in the public eye.
Is that a closed invite-only group?
It is, and like I said, it's in session right now, so the next one will be in spring. But, okay. Like, for any poet, like, it's a critique group, but it's, like, a super safe, super constructive space. It's over Zoom, and... like 10 out of 10 recommend. And I would say like my acceptance rate went up proportionate to my participation in this group in terms of like submitting work.
Okay.
So it's definitely been like worthwhile in a lot of ways and like in some quantifiable ways. So, you know, for anyone interested in poetry, the Seeing Things group, and it's Bob Benson. He was the longtime professor of English and poetry at Hartwick. He leads it, and it's through Bright Hill. So, you know, that organization has lots of stuff for the arts, and they do Word Thursday, and each Thursday, you know, have readings by like pretty renowned people. Actually, they have a lot of, once they started doing it over Zoom, they get a lot of you know, far reaching, really acclaimed writers. So, you know, anyone interested in that kind of thing, that's an organization that kind of flies under the radar, but is really valuable in the area.
Okay, and how would somebody be able to contact anything about that if they were interested in...
Just go to brighthill.org. Okay. Or I think it's Bright Hill. I should know because I'm on the board.
Yeah, where is this?
But you just Google Bright Hill. I can't remember. I think it's just brighthill.org. It might be brighthillpress.org.
Okay.
I think that's what it is.
Well, you could, I'm sure, either one of those. If anybody has any questions, comments, concerns about any of this, you could always just hit me up at mark.paquette@oneana.edu, and I can get the information. You could also always call the station here, 607-436-2711. And I would like to thank Allison Collins for coming. I've been trying to get her to come in here. I send her message quite frequently saying, oh, so I have this radio show. And she normally just goes, yeah, whatever, that kind of
here
thing, and then changes the subject. But she actually showed up, which is amazing.
Thank you for having me.
Not that you don't show up in life, because I think you do.
I do.
You are a shower-upper of many, many, many things.
Just a little ornery about this kind of thing, but I'm trying to get better at sharing and better with being uncomfortable.
Oh, you were great on the radio.
Thank you.
Went really quick, too.
It did.
Was like an hour.
Yeah, no, I was just looking at my phone, and I was like, oh, shit, that was an hour. I'm probably not supposed to swear.
No, you're not supposed to, but brrr, naughty.
I'm honestly surprised that was the only time. But thank you for having me. This was more enjoyable than I anticipated.
Oh, it's what's in your pocket with DJ Nosfer Mark II. DJ Nosfer Mark II. All right, so as I wrap this up, I want to thank everybody. I'm not going to be here tomorrow morning, which I normally am at from 8 to 9, because I'm going to New York City to go see Wet Leg tonight and then driving back super late. So I will not be here, but I'll be around for episode 53 next Monday. I have some other guests coming on in the near future. Ange Dileski, who actually works upstairs in Hunt Union, is going to come on and talk about some 90s music soon. Dan Butterman, who's running for Oneana mayor, is going to be coming on the show. Every Thursday at 8:30, Cassandra Miller will be in, and we'll be blabbing about all the events Oneana to do and so forth. And otherwise, I'm going to be signing off here. This is Wony 90.9 FM. You can also live stream this anytime, anywhere in the world at wonyfm.org. And, yeah, coming at you live from basement of Hunt Union Red Dragon Radios. This is DJ Nosferatu. What's in your pocket? Keep it locked, y'all.
Are you ready to see?
Trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble. Round about the records go, in the poison entrails go. A dash of indie, a sprinkle of pop, and the essence of rock and roll. Boil now in the charmed pot. Ah, I see my next ingredient has arrived. Hold on to your broomsticks as you're flying into WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. Keep it locked.
Since the start of quarantine, social media users around the world have shared their struggles with mental health this past year. With restaurants and businesses being shut down to the constant number change of COVID cases, 2020 has been a long year for many. Among that many are your kids.